Today, we have our first ever guest episode of Key Moments. We have the honor, the privilege to have our first ever guest be an absolutely crazy one. I don't know why this man's face, I'm sure, is in the thumbnail. He's in the title. So
yeah, and we're recording this after
Alejandro Saab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't really do an intro like this.
We didn't.
But we're meeting up. My shirt's probably gonna change. Maybe we're fine. Like maybe we might be there.
I'm still in the black shirt. I wasn't even gonna address it, Donna.
I want to be truthful because the whole energy's gonna switch, dude.
I thought about it.
The world's not gonna be the same after this episode. I'll tell you what. This is a crazy one.
This was a really, really good. I really enjoyed this. This definitely solidified for me. What?
I was just laughing because I don't remember what we actually talked about. So what if it starts and it's just like the most boring? Like, so how do you pay your taxes? I think that'd be a lot funnier.
I mean, it would be an interesting thing to know from a voice actor that probably takes on there's a lot of gigs involved in doing that sort of thing. So. If you guys want to stick around and just see how Cy does his taxes and which company he uses to clean his pool, stuff like that.
And much more and all that and more.
If you find all of that interesting, I think you're going to tune in. No, I just wanted to intro it because it's the first ever truly guest episode of Key Moments. And I think that's really cool. And I just want to note that for those of you that are key members, and if you're not familiar, we do bonus podcasts. There is an extended version of this podcast with Cy available if you go to patreon.com/keymoments or you click join here on YouTube and you can go watch that extended version of the podcast to get more time with Dotto, Nano, and Cy. Without any further ado, let's bring in our guest, Cyu Alejandro Sa. What's your elevator pitch? Who are you?
My elevator pitch.
I imagine everyone listening to this knows who you are, but on the off chance that they don't, who are you? Who's Alejandro Saab?
I'm Alejandro Saab. Kagu Films Cagmaster is what I used to go by. And now I go by Cyu VTuber. I probably tricked some people right there. They all were like, he's going to say it when I didn't. The full intro. I used to be a Dragon Ball content creator. And now I'm a professional voice actor. It'll be 10 years in November since my very first anime role. And now that? I... Fairy Tail. My very first anime role was a Fairy Tail. I voiced a character. His name was Drake the Sniper. He was the one dude in that entire show that had a gun. No magic, just a gun. Typecast, I guess.
That's a great role. I mean, that sounds like the best.
You do love character. Your guns, yeah.
That's me.
We've got his background green screen to look like anime plushies, but he actually
it's like six gun racks out of guns.
Oh, how'd you guys know? Just
dude, unironic. I think that would be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. If a green screen came down, it was just six.
he's like in the Matrix type thing, where it's just gun.
I just think it's my right as a citizen. I don't know. It's just what I'm into.
I mean, it is.
I think the one gun, quote unquote, that I have in this room is the Evoker from Persona 3 Reload, and it's in a glass case, and it's not even a real gun.
I like how you said this room, by the way.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, I have more Evokers. That's what they're called. But they're like the guns that are used to summon personas in Persona 3. So,
are you a Persona guy?
I enjoy the OST, and I really always want to play Persona 5, but I've never... Well, that's not true. I played P4 for 15 hours on my Vita.
Okay.
And then and then someone on the internet spoiled it?
No.
Wow, really? Surprise, because that's happened to me 5 different times that I've tried to play that specific one.
Oh, P4 specifically?
P4 specifically. Every time I try to play it, I vague tweet about it on Twitter, and someone's like, oh, did you get to the part when...
Well, thanks, bro. But no, I have, dude.
No,
I don't tweet about nothing.
I've been getting very careful. I'm enjoying something, I make a very real point to just not only talk about it. I don't even look it up or participate in anything.
The way algorithms work now.
No, I don't even.
You type in Naruto, yeah, and it's like, here's this.
Oh yeah.
I'm not even a very care about spoilers guy either. Like I can still enjoy something with spoiler, after getting spoiled, but. like with Death Stranding, I'm like, dude, it's been 10 years. I'm not going to mess it up.
No, it hasn't.
Now.
Has it?
Are you a Death Stranding guy?
It hasn't been. I don't think it's actually been 10 years.
I am not. I just became a Kojima fan last year.
I was about to ask.
Only last year, I played Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3.
Nice.
For the very first time.
Okay. Yeah.
What would you? What was
and I really liked
it. Three?
That one's, I think, it's 1, but I preferred the playstyle of 3. 2, it was very trippy, in a good way. But the whole time I was waiting to play as a, well, you know, But I really liked the whole twist. I thought that was really cool. I was like, Jesus.
You can spoil the twist, man. It's like it's a 25-year-old game.
Say,
you can spoil the twist.
I was gonna say, I know we just talked about spoilers, but protecting Metal Gear Solid 2 is a little crazy.
I really want to play them. I'm like 3 hours into Metal Gear Solid 1.
Well, the crazy part is, I don't want to spoil 2 because I didn't get spoiled on 2.
Oh,
I didn't get spoiled on any.
I'm aware because it was apparently controversial, right? I don't know if you looked into it, but apparently people were people weren't happy about
really
apparently. Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with you. I know about it just because it was like a back then. I mean, now it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Which is crazy now that we're talking about it.
I love how we're still skirting around.
I was going to say, this is a 5-minute conversation where we're not going to say what we're talking about. But everybody, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it either. But Nano's the one that brought it up. Anyway,
Go ahead, Nano.
Was 3. I love 3. I can't wait for
it. Are you excited for the remake?
Yes, I am. And I'm going to enjoy that thoroughly.
Did you know Hide and Seek's not at launch?
I understand that.
I believe that.
Yeah, I can believe that. I don't really care because I didn't even know that was going to be there. That's why. Yeah. I guess that's why I'm not upset about it. I didn't expect it to be there. So them announcing it only for it not be at launch is not a huge deal. Although I did see people on Twitter are already upset because they removed a little bit of the boob jiggle on one of the scenes of the game. It made me laugh. I saw it last night. I thought about, I don't know. It's my favorite type of joke because of all the squad recordings that we do. Including our guest, is just just ironically saying like, they did it again. They kill video games. The jiggle physics are gone.
I guess I'm confused. Hang on, you're so familiar with the boob physics in a game that you can tell that there's a little less jiggle.
They showed the scene side to side, like it was one.
Hang on, they were doing like an anime game comparison, but this time it's with boob physics.
Yeah, this is
from 04 to 2021.
Clearly are not on Twitter.
This is the least surprising thing of all time.
You're clearly not on Twitter long enough, my friend. Is that's like every other day?
Yeah,
in the algorithm.
It's not even honestly sometimes, and this sounds crazy, but sometimes I get it. It's like, oh man, they're like really changing this old thing. This one was not even the girl is still like doing a very sexual thing in a very sexual way.
In Metal Gear?
Yeah, Metal Gear 3.
Sorry,
no, you're right.
My background is 3 hours of Metal Gear 1.
You're underestimating.
10 hours of 5. I haven't made it. Apparently, there is a character in 5 people really like.
I think you're
very... Wait. Hold on. You were going to spoil Metal Gear Solid 2 and you haven't even played Metal Gear Solid 2?
No.
Exactly.
I want to. I've played 4, though, which is apparently the canonical ending.
I think something that's really funny that's...
But there's nothing
right
like that in 4.
Something really funny that's happening right now is I feel like you are vastly underestimating the horny level throughout all of the Metal Gear
Correct.
Games, basically.
Really?
Yes.
Wait. How many hours did you say you have in the first one?
I guess, technically, I have gotten far enough in the first one where Snake definitely does objectify...
Yes.
Starts with an M. What's the character's
Meryl.
Name? Yes. Meryl. You're right. Never mind. He does... Damn. Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, it's not a core part of the series, but I mean, it's there.
But that's just like these polygons because PS1 games, there's no, I don't remember there being like boob physics to that. I haven't made it to the next gen with PS2 games, you know? I swear on everything in 4, there's not any of that I don't remember.
4?
I haven't played 4.
I haven't played 4 either. And 4 is also, aren't they like really old? Like maybe, I don't know.
No.
Now you're judging?
Well, it's spoilers, but it's just him.
Oh, well, I'm not judging. I'm just saying I thought it was like a
know?
More serious. Well, no, why are we going to talk
no,
about that?
No, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. No.
It's like at the very beginning.
It's like Nano comes in and out of this conversation. We're not.
Do you want to know why he looks old?
Because
it's not that much time.
We went out of our way to avoid talking about Metal Gear Solid.
That's the one I played.
Why am I the
odd man out in this? Damn it.
We're not. I mean, you
I can actually have a conversation about 4. Do you guys want to, dude, let's talk about the final battle in 4. What do y'all think?
I don't know what happened. I didn't play.
Hey, thanks for having me, y'all. I appreciate you being on the podcast.
Every guest episode we do is actually 10 minutes of the guest, and then it goes right back into the old key moments formula.
Yeah, dude, we can start talking about, hang on, what are our classics? We can bring up Daima. We can talk about Battle of Gods.
Let's try to, like, maybe we can trick him to staying on for longer.
Oh, you're right.
Because I did want to bring this up. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've discovered most of your 300 roles on accident. I'm gonna tell this story, no censorship. Maybe this is the kind of story a host would normally censor, but I had to switch off the English dub, not because the performance wasn't fantastic, but it was a romance anime, and I just got a little too uncomfortable hearing my friend talking romantic. I was like, what is it? It's the popular one. It's like horror.
Oh, Horimiya.
Yeah, I was watching that, and I was like, this guy sounds a little familiar. And then once I clicked every scene, I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I was like, it was like, not that it does. Like, I'm a little too close to the impact. Like, maybe I got to switch it. That was during the romance anime phase. That one was pretty good, actually.
Dude, the craziest moments for me are specifically my son watching stuff and then he shows up in it. And it's like, he's watching Pokemon and Leon, right? That's his name. Yep. Yeah, Leon shows up, and I'm
that's
like,
that's a big aura role.
And I won't lie, you know, I feel like when we grew up, I don't know, maybe y'all can disagree with this. When we grew up, like, I wasn't really in the know. I didn't know who Sean Schimmel was, or oh my gosh, who's Spike? Why can't I think of his name?
Steve Bloom.
Yeah, I didn't know who these people were. That was Spike. That was Goku. So I was like, do I shatter this for him? And so I just did it. I just told him.
Sorry, it's time to hit you with an actually. When it came to Dragon Ball, depending on when you watch Dragon Ball, you may not have heard Sean.
Oh yeah, no, sorry. We have had this discussion for sure.
This is a key moments classic.
Yeah, yeah. I do this bit where we're sort of doing a core-ish part of the podcast, at least the beginning, was like we did this rewatch for Dragon Ball, and I would do fun facts about it. And one of the fun facts that I just continually bring up, even though we knew and established this for 60 plus episodes, was that they had to redub the Saiyan Saga. So Saiyan Saga and like the beginning of Namek Saga is like redubbed in like 05. Post GT, during when they were dubbing like original Dragon Ball and stuff, so that they could get the new funny guys in to do those to do those sections. But anyways, were y'all like aware of the fact that it wasn't like, like, did you think deeply about the fact that that's not just Goku? There's like a human behind it voicing Goku or voicing the characters we're watching?
It took a bit for me to click.
Like at 7 specifically. Sure. Do you think at 7 you were thinking that? Or you think like that's just,
no,
that's Ash Ketchum. That's Ash. Like,
I think I was maybe 13, 14 when it,
okay,
like it was something. But I feel like the times have changed. Right? Not to make it about old and shit.
He fits right in here.
I do think that it's like it wasn't something commonly looked into or known as it is now, because now it's like conventions are so much more prominent, like social media is way more prominent, especially talking about anime, and English dubs I feel like are a lot more mainstream than they used to be, because obviously we had Toonami back in the day. But, and I mean, Toonami eventually came back, but I feel like anime as a whole is just way more looked at. Like, I mean, now you have Netflix, you have Hulu, you have Amazon, obviously you have Crunchyroll, but you have so many different competitors, like, that are trying to put it in your face, and they're all trying to do, you know, English dubs and are trying to make it more marketable. Like, I mean, Sakamoto Days, it has like people, it has on camera actors, like it has the guy from Blue Beetle, it has Vinny, who's a model or something, I'm not aware of him, but has like 5 million followers on Instagram or something.
He was or is a part of 100 Thieves, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. But like, you have all of these, I mean, for Dondadon, in one of the recent episodes, they got the lead singer of Dragon Force like to sing for the show.
Oh, that's pretty
like
cool.
It was insane. Yeah, so it's like they're definitely, anime has become so much more mainstream, and I feel like that, obviously, like I feel Dragon Ball and Naruto paved the way for that, but then I feel like Attack on Titan is when we first got like it first started like opening up the gates. Like obviously you could say a bunch of different anime, like you could say Cowboy Bebop, you could say Inuyasha, you could say Fullmetal Alchemist. But I feel like I personally first started seeing a lot more people, even in like high school and middle school, talk about anime because of Attack on Titan. And then when My Hero Academia and Demon Slayer came around, I feel like that just opened the floodgates to everybody else. Because I think Demon Slayer was it the Fall Out Boy singer that was like, oh yeah, I watched Demon Slayer on the plane or something. And I was like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Are you talking about Patrick Stump or Pete Wentz?
I can't remember. It was an article from when...
Nothing. That was just a very nanogenics question.
Yeah. I don't remember for the life of me. I just remember it was like an article, or it was like a Twitter thing where like it was when Demon Slayer was like after the first season came out, that it was like being talked about, like it was just another TV show. And I feel like after that, like way more people started talking about it. And obviously COVID, I feel like, perpetuated that, because so many 100%. People watch Naruto and One Piece. And I mean, One Piece, like as popular as it is now, like growing up I loved One Piece, but nobody talked about One Piece like it was like mainstream. Nobody talked about One Piece like it was Dragon Ball or Naruto.
Dude, there's someone that's going to the comment section right now to let you know, yeah, like, that is not true. My friends loved One Piece and talked about it.
Dude, my brother is a huge One Piece fan. I this dude has been reading ever since we moved to America. This dude has been reading One Piece since every chapter every week. So I'm like, I know One Piece has a diehard fan base, but at the time, like, it's like Saint Seiya. Like, if you guys know what Saint Seiya is, I'll be shocked. But Saint Seiya in South America and in Europe is super popular, but in the States, it's not. And I feel like One Piece was like that for a while with in Japan, because One Piece is so well renowned over there. And I feel like it wasn't until the Wano arc where the animation just like shot up like crazy that I feel like now it's getting the recognition that it rightfully deserves. That's my tangent on anime.
That's this is probably not their official name, but this is definitely not their official name, but that's the Dragon Ball Super Broly animation crew, right?
That I don't know, but it definitely looks like it. I mean, it's Toei, but I don't know.
Really similar to DBS Broly, for sure.
That was definitely where the animation started popping off.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think One Piece back in the day was like a... It was like a third tier. I would even have put it below Bleach in America, at least, because I remember thinking
in America, like, I would agree in America.
Yeah, back then I just didn't hear about it that much.
Dude, all I've really heard about was Dragon Ball and Naruto.
Like, I mean, my friend group was like I said, the thing was I liked Naruto
and Inuyasha, son.
But we all like Dragon Ball. Inuyasha, that one, dude. There was, I'm not gonna lie, bro. Anime, like he was saying. Back in the day, it was just viewed entirely differently.
Oh, yeah.
Inuyasha was my line. As soon as somebody said they liked that, I was like, yeah, you are a fucking
dude. Leader, I just saw Dino tweet about this the other day, or he made an Instagram. I don't know. He posted something about it, but it's the flower outro of Inuyasha. When you wake up
at like 2 a.m.
Yes. Dude, I love that outro, man.
It's a classic looking show. I've never seen a single episode.
You've never watched Inuyasha?
No, dude. I told you that.
I think our age gap is probably. You guys are pissing me off.
Hold on. First off, you guys are pissing me off. It's Inuyasha. You guys are saying Inuyasha. It's pissing me off.
Yeah,
and
man.
I thought it was a bit.
So you watched the show, huh?
I did, man.
Likely fucking story.
I did watch it, but the first time
I let it slide, and then it kept going back and forth. Inuyasha.
This is, I swear to God, this is probably related to me not being able to tell the difference between hill and hill.
What?
But it doesn't even sound remotely the same.
I'm serious.
He's blaming his dialect.
I am. I swear on everything. This is the same thing. Dill and dill, right? Like a dill pickle, or let's make a dill. Like, it's the same thing.
What? Oh. You can't say deal?
Dill. I swear to God, those sound the exact same
that,
in my ears.
I understand the Inuyasha now.
Apparently, I say Gotenks wrong as well.
It's Gotenks.
Gotenks.
I mean, I think that's fine. It just sounds like saying a little fast, but Nothing wrong with that. I don't know if they should make fun of you for that one.
All right, I got two questions I'm curious about. One's the nerd in me. What mics are you talking into whenever you're doing? Is it a variety of them, or is there an industry standard? Like what?
It depends, right? For anime, usually, at least in Crunchyroll, they use a Neumann TLM-103, which is pretty.
That's what I use.
Yeah, it's a great mic. For video games, it switches. There's the U87, and then that's there's the
great mic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. And then sometimes they'll hit us with like lav mics. So they'll like put it on like little hats and then they'll like have like right here. That one's for like, I've done that with more, like AAA games. I had to do that for The Last of Us Part Two when we were doing like the Infected.
Flex. Holy flex. Anyway, sorry.
If you want to talk about flex, that was my very first, job I got with my agent back in 2019.
He's an agent. That's official stuff.
I know.
Yeah. Agent. Ain't it crazy? Ain't it fucking weird?
So my second question is, do you typically do more? I know you do some from home because you have like an actual like box, right?
Yeah.
Is it pretty evenly split, or are you actually like more so on the side of flying in or going to an actual studio, or are you doing it at home, or?
It varies. Like there are times where I will exclusively just be recording at home. And then there are times where I have to go in person. Like there are some sessions that the company is just like, hey, we have like a very specific system, so we'd prefer if you were to come in. Like I'm working on like two projects right now where one of them is like, I have to go in. And then literally like a month ago, I found out that two of the other cast members are recording from home. And I'm like, I could have been doing this too. Fine. I would say right now it's maybe like a 70-30, maybe a 60-40 split, 60-70% recording from home.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's still pretty good, you know, for like professional quality, like stuff. Like, is the two like voice acting hotspots still like LA, obviously? And then isn't Texas another big one?
Yeah.
I thought they do a lot of stuff in Texas.
For anime, it's like Texas. Like, any of the Crunchyroll stuff is all Texas, and then everything else, like, video games, animation, commercials usually are in LA, right? So a lot of the video game work that I have is from LA. And thankfully, most of it is pretty cool with me working from home.
Mm. Okay. Don't have to. I mean, do you prefer to? So it sounds like you prefer just to stay home.
I don't know. It really depends.
In the studio vibe, it's got to be pretty cool,
right?
I can't speak for him, but it really depends. Probably would be like, you know, staying home is always the base option, but you know, sometimes it's cool. Like sometimes it's cool enough to go out, and it's just like warranted. Like you get that whole experience. Like, you know, when you're doing like vocap, like you said, you ain't doing vocap at home.
Oh yeah, no, you would do that in person.
You can't, that's plus aura when you do vocap. Like you can't do it at home.
Do you ever get to act with others, or is it very isolated? Like,
98% of the time it's been isolated. Mm. I think the only times I've worked with other people was I worked on that Avengers game by Square years ago, and they had us do all together, which I didn't think we'd have to do, but it was very interesting.
So do you, I don't know if this is like a blasphemous question, although some of Dotto's questions I feel like were, I don't know, with the voicing thing. Do you prefer games or do you prefer anime, or do you really care? You're just like, it's just vibing with the characters.
I think it jumps around, because even when I was a kid, I was one of those where I was like, I get bored of like if I do something the same thing over and over and over again too quickly. But I feel like there are times where I was like, oh, I really love doing video games, and then there's like, man, I really wish I was doing more anime, and then I get to do more anime, and then I was like, man, I really miss video games. So just jumping kind of back and forth, and then it's like tricking my brain into FOMO, I guess. I don't know. It really depends on the time of year, I think, like what I've been working on more. I don't know. I like both.
I feel like I'd get so giddy. Like, obviously, putting on an anime and hearing my voice would be really cool. But like something like a video game, being a character in a game that you can just like walk up to and it's just like it says the line. I don't know. There's something being immersed. Like, I've been popping into Cyberpunk a lot. And if I just walked through Cyberpunk and I'm like, That was my voice. I don't know. There'd be something like really cool about that. I don't know.
I always thought it'd be really cool to do like a, and I don't know if you could say this, but have you done like a lot of fighting game stuff? I feel like fighting game voice acting would be a lot of fun. That would be sick.
So how, like, I don't know if you can really say this. Do they, especially for like games, I feel like they try to keep so much under wrap. Do they try to bring you guys in like pretty close to release? So that way it's
ooh,
less, or can you, I don't even know if you can even really say that, but. You know, I feel like they... Okay.
I think they're... No. It's not that I can't answer it. It's just... we record pretty ahead of time. I think the only times we don't or are like the closest we've had to do is for live service games because they update them so frequently.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like maybe we'll have like, you know, a 3-month gap or like a 4-month gap before like the thing we recorded actually came out. But there's been a project that hasn't come out that I've been recording for 2 years and it's still not out.
I was going to say, what you're saying is there's a lot of video game knowledge right up here. Like he it's just
like there's a lot of that's what NDAs are for.
I know.
Yeah. So
I feel like it'd be so hard sometimes though, especially because like you stream as Psy.
Yes.
And I feel like sometimes there's people will say things that I just want to respond. I don't even know that much shit, but I know a couple of little things. And especially if like I've had conversations with like, say, Dotto or just somebody about said thing that I can't talk about yet. And I'm like, someone say something, I'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, and I feel like with you, there's probably so much shit that someone in chat could say something that would trigger and be like, and and it's probably even easier though, because you since you are the VTuber, like they can't even see your face of like realizing that you
it
know
helps
something
a lot.
So
I like being the VTuber, it helps
the
tremendous.
VTuber icon go like what did you just look at?
When Zenless Zone Zero was coming out, they I actually got sponsored to stream the game, and the character I voiced was in the game. I couldn't say it was me though.
At that point, that had to be the company just messing with you, because like you're playing.
I definitely called that out in my sponsored video for Zenless Zone Zero.
Oh yeah,
you're allowed to, bro. You can say that.
I guess I can.
Yeah, because like, you
can guess.
Yeah, you can.
You can
know.
Guess.
You don't know, but he can't not know. Oh, maybe that is me. I don't know. What the fuck do you mean by that?
I will say there have been times where people will be like, "Oh, bro, I loved you in this," and I was like, was I in that? And I like listened and I was like, oh, I see why they think it's me, but it's not me. It's like, I mean, sometimes they'll like, I mean, sometimes it'll still be under a project name because they don't know the name of the actual game yet. And they'll change around names of your character and stuff. So you're like, I don't remember if this was the thing I did.
Oh, okay.
But usually they're pretty upfront with you on what you're recording. And then the moment they tell you, it's like, if this leaks, we know it's your fault. And I'm like, awesome.
Yeah, we've got six ways to track this back to just you.
I guess you just answered that. I was about to say, the reason why I'm saying oh like that is because the guy that plays, oh my gosh, Nightcrawler, the original Nightcrawler just came out and was like,
in Doomsday.
For Doomsday, was talking about how he was interacting with characters, but they were under code names, so we couldn't even know the characters he was interacting with. So that way, like, leaks, I guess, are under wraps. So when you said that, I thought maybe they, like, you're going to be in Persona, but you're Jim, you know? But it's really, you're not really Jim. You know, I didn't know if that's what you were saying, right? Like, you were saying, like, giving you, like, code names or something, so you don't 100%.
So much work. I think that's officially crossing the point of doing too much. Like, all right, bro.
I feel like
I hate leaks. I like going into shit not knowing anything. Like Tokon's reveal specifically is why I'm like, dude, not knowing shit is so great, because that Tokon reveal was so good.
I did see clips of that on Twitter. I was like, that's right. I feel like with the Doomsday thing, I think it's just because so many people are clamoring to just leak the information of who is in the movie. It's kind of like Smash Brothers. Is you know, we would hear so many things, and then, you know, potential rumors of like, oh, apparently they're coming out with this or that and the third, and then you know, we don't get any of those, and we got, you know, like Banjo, and that reveal is cool as hell. So just to throw people scent off, I guess.
Dude, I swear people were so convinced Dante was coming to Smash.
Oh yeah,
Dante would have been a really cool Smash character.
Though, I did like the them having the announcer just say a wall of names. Like I know that that announcer had a horrible time, like trying to talk to his friends about anything. He was like, "Yeah, apparently I don't know why they're doing this, but they've got like Adam Sandler joining the roster." It's fucking insane, but yeah, he was there.
It's funny because like I've told him. I was like, hey, can you do me a favor? He's like, what's up? Could you say Martin Luther King Jr., but like how you say Bowser Jr.? And he's like, I can't do that. And I was like, okay.
I can't do that. Nope. That always makes me laugh when like a celebrity or somebody like that, just they just like literally can't do something. Like, no. Oh.
Yeah.
No. This is extremely awkward now. I thought it was just going to be a little 5-second thing, but all right. I guess I'll.
Funny little guffaw, a little haha.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be funny. But now I feel like I've crossed the line.
Have you had a moment where you've asked a celebrity to do something and they tell you no?
Honestly, I've recently learned that I have a unique ability to always accidentally say something extremely uncomfortable.
Because I'm like, I've never had like, that.
Dude, I just, whatever is the accidental thing that they've signed 5 NDA contracts for, I always push it too far.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'll be like, oh, dude, so what's going on with this? And then the conversation dies and they're just like,
I had one singular moment like this, and it was I ran into Ted Price. You know who that is? Do you know who that is?
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Ted Price he's retired now, but he was like the CEO, one of the founders of Insomniac Games.
Yep.
Made Resistance, Ratchet and Clank,
Spider-Man. Man, you randomly ran into him?
Yeah. It wasn't super random. I was at QuakeCon in 2012, and I was going up to my room, and we were on the elevator together. I was a huge fan, and at the time I thought I was gonna try and start like this like IGN type website and all this shit. Not that I was like trying to talk to him to report on that, but I just was really into, you know, watching Inside Gaming Daily and all that shit. Anyway,
oh, sure.
And so I just asked him about, it was a game called, I believe it was Overdrive. It was like a hero shooter thing, and it had been rebranded, and it ended up coming out called Fuse. This is like a this is an Insomniac game published by EA, and it was their first multiplat game since making the exclusive games for PlayStation, because they did Ratchet and Clank and Resistance and Spyro.
Fuse was their first?
If you look up Fuse Insomniac, you'll see it. It's like the most generic action shooter looking.
Oh yeah, I do remember.
So
this
got a rebrand, and it came out like a month after. I was like, dude, I'm really excited about, we'll just call it, it was basically, it sounded like Overwatch. We'll just call it Overwatch. I'm really excited about Overwatch. And he acted real weird about it. You just unlocked the memory for me. I forgot this shit happened.
Yeah.
It's just he like, acted real weird about it. Like, he's like, you know, like not weird, but he just was like sidelining questions a little bit, you know? And then 2 months later, it come out, rebrand, Fuse, EA's publishing, like all this shit. The game never came out in the state it was originally
shown
off as.
You can immediately tell. And it's not like they're being a bad person. It's just like literally like, you, in fact, you were the bad person.
Yes, yes,
you
yes.
made yeah. things bad for them, and now it's like, well, I didn't. My bad, I didn't know.
Have you had? I don't know if this is like a weird question, but have you had like? Has there been anyone that has shocked you that's wanted to get a picture with you or anything? Have you ever just been like, oh, really?
Yes. Like, Danny Trejo.
What? Really?
That was a funny one. Yeah. I didn't think that name was
coming. I was at my very first fan expo, and Danny Trejo and his son, apparently his son and his friends were fans of like Genshin and like Star Rail.
Okay.
So that we ended up getting pictures, and then Danny was like, if you're ever in California, come to one of my restaurants. And I was like, yeah, okay. It was very, very weird and surreal. It was very weird. Yeah.
I feel like if Danny Trejo told me to like visit one of, I wouldn't just wait for a trip. I'd be like, yeah, tomorrow.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah,
man.
I can take a flight. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Which location?
The only reason I didn't go the next day is because apparently he was flying off to, I think it was Europe or something, because he was opening up a taco shop over there.
Oh, okay.
So like, he was opening up one of his restaurants.
Man, that's wicked, dude. Dude, fucking superstar, dude.
I know. Average everyday celebrity.
Man,
it's me.
Average Tom Cruise we got here.
Okay, let's not go that far.
The agent thing is crazy. You should be able to say you have an agent, and like, so does the agent just literally get you? Like, you don't, like, you're not like, like they just get you the jobs, right? Is that like,
man, I wish it was that easy. Just be like, yes, could you, I'll take that one and that one, please.
Well, I just mean, but like they're like, you're not, I assume you probably started this way because everybody starts somewhere, but you're not the one that's having to like reach out to facilitate and find said things. Like they're still finding those for you and saying,
correct,
here you go, man. Here's, these are like, these are the 10 roles that I've got that we can pitch you for. That's what I meant. Sorry.
They'll send me auditions depending on the week. It'll be like 5 to 10 a day. Sometimes it's dead, right? It just depends on time of year, I guess. And they will be like, hey, this is due like this day. Sometimes it's requested, like the client will be like, hey, we really want to hear Alejandro. Or sometimes it'll be my agent being like, hey, I really want Alejandro. I really want your read on this. Sometimes they'll just straight up pitch me, or they'll be like, hey, this person wants to cast you in this. And I'll be like, oh, okay, cool.
That's what I wanted to see. Because I think after, you know, almost 10 years, you have enough clout that I was curious how many of those kind of roles you get where it's like, we just want you. Like, yeah, we don't need the audition. We know we want your voice. So just, like, get on in here. Let's start this. Let's get this work done.
I wish it came to, like, most of the time it was like, yeah, they want to offer you this. They want to offer you this, but it's not. I'm still auditioning like every day.
How do they, and when it comes in, or how much of it is you sort of like becoming that character, and how much of it is like, this is what we kind of want you to do? Like, is it a bit of a 50-50? Is it more leaning one way or the other?
Well, like, I feel like every audition, they're like, hey, we want this. But then I feel like I have to do, like, it's like, hey, this is a take of what you want, and this is a take of what I think you want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you be doing your voices just like walking around the house and shit? Do you just like, pop into character from time to time? I feel like I would. Like, I don't know. I do.
I do like goofy shit, especially when talking to the animals, for sure.
Kermit?
For sure. One of them is Kermit. I feel like that's a given. I have a Kermit doll or puppet around here somewhere. I have a freaking puppet right over there.
Yeah.
Puppet in the box.
Dude. Sorry. Terrible day. On for cameras, man. I don't know what the fuck happened, but the camera, so we're probably not using it much for those of you watching the podcast, but I wanted
I hope not, because if it cuts to it just now, like, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it looks so, but I needed Cy to be able to see both of us, and it, like, we have one, Cy can't see this, we have ones on each of us, but like I don't know what happened, but my camera is doing this thing where when I turn it on, it just flutters. So if any of you guys know why it would do that, let me know. But I had one singular camera that could replace it. One singular camera, it did the same shit. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if the lens is bad and it's causing it to do that. I don't know, but I'm out like an absurd amount of money on cameras right now. So if you guys have any suggestions, or you want to go to my PayPal.me.
Don't ask for suggestions. Ask for money. Donation. Yes. Why ask for suggestions?
I don't have a donation button, man.
Money is the answer. Obviously, you either have to get them fixed or get a new one. So one way or another, you're going to need that money.
Man.
If only Radio Shack still existed, you could have gotten a replacement. Dude,
I used to love just going to Radio Shack.
I loved Radio Shack, man. It was Radio Shack, and it was, depending on where you were.
Let's look left and look right now. Out of the three of us were not shopping at Radio Shack enough, clearly. Because they're no longer a thing. Yeah, it was also me. When I say I love Radio Shack,
I didn't actually buy anything in there.
Like, yeah, no.
I just went in and look at the gimmicks.
Shop at Radio Shack, I would never. Okay, that is a strictly walk in and look around.
Yeah, you walk in, you look around. Their prices were, they were just, it was way too expensive.
They should have just charged for ticketing.
It was that in, what was the other one? Circuit City?
Oh, dude, there was a Circuit City, yeah.
Yeah.
In the city I grew up in, yeah.
I think my old guy take of the day, or the take that I actually do mean, is I really was like a big Blockbuster customer, and I probably would be today.
Loved Blockbuster. Like, yeah,
I would go in, would rent a couple movies.
Oh, would you really drive to a Blockbuster to watch a fucking movie? You say you don't even like getting up and putting them in,
because no place has movies. I have physical movies. I just games. I don't like getting up and putting in, because you can't like digital games. are way better than physical games, unfortunately. It is just the truth. I like collecting them too. I like the case too. But every time, back in the day when I would play games with my friends, like, oh, we're playing this? I kind of feel like playing this. All right, let me just fucking get up. Oh, actually, this Jim just got on, so we're going to play this. Okay, let me just. And then I would sit and it would crack and I'd go, I have to go fucking replace
my Call of Duty. I will say, it's happened to me with Modern Warfare 2. I was playing it on 360. And I remember my dumbass, my friend was like, bro, you have it vertical? If you have it vertical, like, he was telling me something about the ventilation or some shit. I can't remember if I had it vertical or horizontal. He was like, bro, you gotta rotate it. I was like, okay. And I rotate it while it's still on.
Oh,
while I'm playing the game.
No.
So I do it, and I just hear a... And I'm like... And I look. I take out the disc, unreadable now. And I look at the disc, and there are two perfect circles around, like, the disc. And I had just got this game, like, an hour prior.
Modern Warfare 2?
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. Like, launch day.
On 360?
That would have pissed
me. Yeah, 360.
That would have ruined my whole... Not just day. That would have ruined my week.
Dude, I had to go to GameStop, and I basically begged. And they're like, you paid for the $2 insurance, right? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, take the shitty disc. And they're like, here's a brand new one. And they were so mad at me.
Dude, I mean...
And I was like... you guys offered the $2 insurance. I don't know what you offered me.
I thought the story was going to be you just begged and probably, I'm going to be honest, like if you just sold it to them an hour ago, maybe you can make an exception. But you bought the $2 insurance. Who are they to make you feel bad, bro? You did it.
Yeah.
Like, this it's is their why fault. I got my $2 insurance.
Thanks, GameStop. The one good thing you did.
See, now, not to make this a console thing, but if you would have had a PlayStation 3 copy of Modern Warfare 2, These were Blu-ray discs instead of old DVD technology, and so it would have been safe because there's a protective layer on Blu-ray discs to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mm. Yeah, how many friends of yours played on PS3?
Yeah, I was going to say, sadly you wouldn't have been able
actually.
To play.
Yeah, all my
sadly,
friends.
You wouldn't have been able to play with anybody when you got the game.
See, that was the thing. Dude, I was immersed in a group.
All three of them.
Our whole group. For whatever reason, where I grew up, only one guy had a 360. He was the outcast. And we bullied him into getting a PS3.
That is like the ugly duckling storyline, bro. Like,
that's why I didn't know that. Like, it was like such a thing. That
guy, I feel bad for him because in Florida, in my school, there was one PS3.
Dude.
Like, what are you guys playing today? I'm like, oh, we're all gonna get in a party and play like some Call of Duty, dude. What are you gonna do? Like, same thing.
100% though, the 360 controller, like the DualShock 3 is one of the worst controllers ever.
Yeah.
The DualShock 3 fucking sucks.
I hate the PlayStation controller. Just like, the analog sticks being down here. I like fighting games.
DualShock 4 got it right, man.
No,
DualShock 4 is like my favorite controller
of
all time.
For fighting games, it's perfect because the D-pad is the prominent.
But even the Switch 2s is. Same.
Okay, don't get me started though, because the fuck did they have to switch it up, dude? Why, like, I go from playing on a PC with an Xbox controller to a Switch, and it's like, what the fuck? Why is the X here and not here?
I'm gonna say a controversial take, bro. Nintendo does not know how to make video games. Obviously they know something.
I think they do, but
dude, have you played Tears of the Kingdom or Breath of the Wild? Why is the control scheme that way? Why do I have to do double claw grip to perform actions?
Okay, well, I will say, like, sure, but those are good ass.
Why
video
is
games.
Running and jumping so hard? Why is that so hard? I feel like that should be pretty easy.
But what's the most recent 1,000 out of 1,000 you got lately?
Oh, yeah.
Gamer score?
Yep.
I just did this. Hold on. Persona 3 Reload.
Holy
damn,
shit.
That sounds like a
hard
one, too.
I just read, well, technically not 1,000 of 1,000. I think it's a 1,200 because it included the episode, I guess. Mm. It's because I got the platinum on PlayStation when it first came out, and I was like, oh, Persona 3 Reload is leaving Game Pass.
Hang on, wait. So you've
100%
of this game twice?
Yeah.
I don't even like that you're getting trophies on the side because, yes.
Hold on. In my defense. I was a PlayStation trophy head for a while, and then eventually, I don't know what did it.
I don't know what
about it.
They're better.
They're not better.
Astrobot. I 100% at Astrobot. I got all the little bots. I got everything. Like, I even beat the final level. Obviously, I haven't done the DLC stages. But,
Wait, have you not done
time,
any of the DLC stages?
Correct. At the time, at the time of Astrobot on launch, I did 100% it. Even after 100%ing, I did not have the platinum trophy because there were a bunch of little things here and there that I was like, had to do, like just like take pictures or do certain gimmicks. And I was like, well, why? I 100%ed it. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, I have 100% of the game too, and I don't have the plat yet either because you have to do the little random bullshits. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, this sucks. And then there was something about it. And then I was like, well, this game just came out on Xbox. Let me go and see. And I'm playing the game and I'm 100%ing it. And someone, I was talking to Omega because he was in the same situation. And he's like, bro, you just like to see the number go up. And I was like, true. And he was like, nobody gives a shit about bronze or silver or gold trophies. Mm. They only care about the platinum. You don't have the platinum, no one gives a shit. However, on Xbox, if you just get, they just care about the gamer score. And I was like, that is true. And I was describing this situation to my chat on stream, and they were like, oh, you're a whore for numbers. And I was like, damn. Hey, right.
But you I have a number.
It doesn't define you, though.
What's the number?
Well, right now I'm like at 400 and something or something like that. Level 400.
That sounds
I've got 130,000 gamer score. I think that sounds more impressive.
That's still so much gamer score, dude.
I have 137,000.
What's yours?
I don't. It's not that good.
Is it baby like bitch numbers?
Yes, dude. My girlfriend's dad has a higher gamer score than me, and that pissed me off. I was like, what the fuck? I sometimes care about achievements too. Like when my recent 1,000 is, and it was very easy. The new Doom game. That was so easy.
Really? That's easy? I haven't played any Doom games.
In fact, I played the game on the hardest difficulty, which you don't need to do for any achievements. If you were just trying to get the achievements, you could probably do that so fast. It is so easy. All the collectibles are easy. It was honestly pathetically easy. It made me a little upset. But like
really?
Yeah, it was pretty. But I just like getting achievements.
Are you familiar with Truth?
Yeah.
Okay. Truth is a trophy hunter. Like he doesn't really play his Switch because he's like, it's a waste of time because I could be getting trophies. He's like, I want to play these games, but also I don't because it's not doing anything for my trophy score. So I just don't really care. But anyway, he will play shit in the worst way possible, which is playing the PS4 version. So that way he can beat it. And then you pop the PS5 version in, and it auto pops all the trophies.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know PlayStation stuff like that. That's cheap.
Yeah,
that's like very cheap.
So he doubles up.
When I was watching Ray's stuff, because I used to watch Achievement Hunter stuff like that, and mostly the achievement guides. I think the way you cheese stuff on Xbox is like there are also like games you can buy that just have notoriously easy. 100%.
I am Mayo stuff like that.
It's just like thanks for buying the game.
Caterpillar.
Yeah,
Caterpillar for like $1.
You just get easy pops like that.
I definitely have done a few of those.
I feel like because whenever people do that, like there was like clarify. I still think that's a pretty gamer thing to do. Like I actually fully respect that method. The PlayStation one, I guess I kind of honestly I just respect
if
the
he's
team again.
If he's playing on the worst version just then, to do it, then it's still, fair.
I think it's fine.
It's fair.
It's fine.
Mm. We haven't even talked about this. That we're in a new setup, Sai, and. We had a whole conversation about just how branding, which by the way, since we talked about that, do you see Cracker Barrel is
they took it back.
They're reversing it. Back.
It's our shit's already dated. We haven't even gotten that episode up yet.
I know that is unfortunate.
Fuck.
We were like, we should talk about like, because we're like doing a lot of podcasts. We're like, this is the one episode we could talk about something current.
Yeah.
And it's old.
Yeah. It's already old. But we're just talking about like how logos, I don't know how much of they can. Yeah. You can see. Yeah. Logos just like had so much like flavor, and like right now everything's just coming so like unanimously like have this sort of similar look, and if I'm picturing in my head how achievements look right now, they're very simplistic, right? Like when they pop up, it's like the Xbox logo and it's just right,
they're sleek. Yeah.
Does it have different sound effects?
It just plays a diamond sound effect. It goes like it's just extra special, although sometimes it's just because the game is dead.
Maybe I need to do some achievements.
But also I will say this to also add to achievements, because I did this, a lot of achievements have like their own special art attached, which I'm sure they carry over.
That is actually,
but you can set their art as background. Yep. Like my fully complete Naruto Storm 4 is my Xbox background because it's just Naruto like this. You like, it's like you completed the game and it's a shadow of Naruto with the four. And I was like, that, not only do I feel like the ultimate fucking gamer because I got that, but now it's my Xbox background.
And depending on the company, they will specifically make like different arts for like the backgrounds of those achievements. Because some folks will just be like, oh, the achievement art is like, you know how in a trophy there's like a small little box and it's like the art?
Yeah.
Right? So they'll be like, oh, we just blew this up. And that's the background. But some companies, they'll make like a whole. Yeah.
Like,
okay, wait, that's actually really cool.
I wish, right? I just want to talk about
that's
this.
That's really cool.
Because I played Metaphor on my Xbox, but I've already admitted to this, so there's no shame. I'm ass at those kind of games. I can't do it. I can't fucking do it. I still, have you played Metaphor?
I have not. I've played it for like 3, maybe 4 hours.
I wasn't going to spoil anything anyway, but the final boss was so hard that I had to turn it on baby bitch tell me the story only difficulty, and I still had to use 3 continues to win. So I didn't get the achievement for beating the game.
Did you just get there too early? You didn't like farm enough?
I don't know what I did. I'm not good enough to tell you. But the get all achievements like picture for Metaphor, I want it as my Xbox background so bad, dude. And I just can't. I'll never have it. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it, but I've seen
that's
it
a video, man. Do it.
No, thank you.
As someone who travels a lot, I am excited for the ROG Ally.
Dude, there's two people. Oh, 3 people in the room?
What are you talking about?
I guess it's a
handheld PC, dog. Never, I got problems, man. I want that shit right now.
You're right, Nano. I forgot that we are the only 3 people in the world. Because when I say normally that I'm like, I'm definitely going to buy that, like everybody's like, why? And I'm like, I don't really know, but I want it. Like,
nah, dude.
It's Xbox, bro. Like, I'm going to buy it.
Nah, man. I got to have that.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to achievement hunt on the go.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
I won't lie. That thing does scare me in a way. Like, I'm pretty deep into the PlayStation ecosystem, obviously, and, you know, the tattoos and all that.
Ooh.
But, I'm like, shit, man. I might have to start playing some games on my Xbox.
Where's your...
It's so good.
Where's your PlayStation tattoo?
I've got one here and one on the back of my leg.
All right, great. Then on your other leg and on the other side, you're going to get an Xbox.
Hell yeah. And then what are those fucking license plates?
Just,
whenever
you just the Nintendo logo on your ass. That way you can bounce.
Oh, yeah. Shit, dude. Like, you're right.
Okay, to go back to Nintendo, by the way, about truth, I get that 100%. I have been like, before the Switch 2 came out, I was like, bro, Nintendo just needs to come out with a reward system of some kind, and I will literally drop every other console. Like, that's just what it is.
That's a little crazy.
I know that's a little crazy, but for me...
Do you not want to play other games besides first-party games? Like, come on, man. You're trying to run Elden Ring at 20 frames per second? Like, Jesus Christ.
On the Switch, too, buddy.
I still do. I agree with you, though. I wish Nintendo had some...
I mean, yes.
I came up with this. I was like, bro, the reward system for Nintendo could be really cute. You make it merit badges. You do, like, sashes per game.
Oh.
And then you have merit badges as, like, the... Instead of... Because, you know, there's, like, obviously there's achievements, there's trophies. So what do? Medals, that's also a possibility, but I just think if you're gonna, you know, make it cute, and if you want to make it something so you can display, it's like, oh, well, here are all the sashes for each one of my games and all the merit badges I got per sash.
I like that. What would you call hypothetical time? What are you calling the 100% achieve? Like, what, like platinum? Ooh. Xbox struggles with that. What's the merit badge equivalent? Like sashed it?
That I don't know. I sashed.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
Jesus, I don't know, man. You threw this at me. I have absolutely
branding practice.
No idea. But I would love if, in the way that you don't really have backgrounds over there, but you would get special icons you could set your shits to.
Yeah.
Like like it's a, like they lock like Breath of the Wild 100%, whatever it is.
Yeah, they actually do a little, like, you can, they have these missions. Oh, I know, man, dude,
you have like a virtual like backpack or virtual like thing that you can like put your badges on.
Yeah,
on your character. The only thing Nintendo does now is they'll like do these random weeks where they're like, if you play Ocarina of Time, you can buy this special Ocarina of Time profile picture.
They do that?
Yeah, but it's not like it's not a hard mission. It's literally like launch Ocarina of Time.
I didn't realize that. You'll get an Ocarina. So they already do that. What I'm saying,
a little
bit,
but not nearly as cool. Like, it's literally just like,
I want the most badass Link art ever. If I 100% Tears of the Kingdom and get the.
Yeah, I mean, that would be way cooler than just launching Ocarina of Time and getting Link. But, you know, how long?
I don't know why that reminded me of Recon Armor.
Dude. Yeah, I feel like we've taken enough of Alejandro Saab's side.
Anyway, you know, how long has it been?
It's been a long time. Tell them where can they find you, man? Just on the off chance they're like,
you can find me at Kagi Films on Twitter and Instagram, and at Sayu VTuber on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, TikTok, and at Sayu Vods YouTube.
Hell yeah. Dude, we appreciate you taking the time being here.
First ever guest. It was the most ADHD episode of a podcast I've ever been on.
Well,
was it?
I mean, yes, we jumped from topic to topic like crazy,
Sorry, that's just what that's how it is.
It was better than usual. I'm not gonna lie.
No, don't apologize.
we did a better job than usual.
Do not apologize. Shit. That's honestly the way we were talking. I was like, oh, this is how my brain works. Thank God.
I feel like I hear some music. Do you hear some music right now? Do you hear it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Dude, bad news. That's going to be with you the rest of your life. We recently picked that up. It is not going away.
It literally will never go away. I've heard it this entire time we've been doing this.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
Anyways.
It's bad. Bye!